Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Langer, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Buescheler ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are broadcasting live from the Schnucks off South Grand. Come on by and say hello. This is a terrific place to get beer brats. How about this? Made in store, fresh every day, jumbo pack for $2.49 a pound. Running through 4th of July weekend, they have great seafood specials. This is the place to buy flowers. This is a great place, and this is going to be a great show because we are thrilled to be here. Andy Strickland, Charles Tuna Edwards, the Friday Roundtable is here. Men, great to be with you again. It's been a while. What a whirlwind.
Unbelievable. Go ahead.
You go first, Charlie.
This is your show. No. This is your stage because I have a lot to say today.
Well, you said you had some hot takes.
I got a lot
to
say.
We said we'd be the judge of how hot these
No. So. This is a Cusimano show. Although, I mean, we take over the show.
Frank has a show Monday through Thursday.
Frank just handing the ball off Monday through Thursday.
You want a baton? Here's the baton. Yeah. Take it ahead.
I'm Steve Nash giving it to Stoudemire. And
we'll go down for the one-hand thunder dunk. Man, it's great to be here. Great to be at Schnucks once again. I think we've hit every Schnucks in the metro.
Charlie has.
I have. I'm here Thursday night.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
Oh, I've had some. Boy, I've been at the Schnucks stores with the Blues things. I've heard some comments. I'll share them with you later. It's just been unbelievable.
I love the pictures of Dr. Rick showing up at all of your.
He comes there. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dr. Rick is showing up, although he did say Kevin Durant probably wouldn't play the rest of the playoffs.
He was right on that, and one of his friends is up in New York, talked about him, the injury last night.
Does that Achilles knock you out for another year? It may.
Well, every NBA player has never come back except Dominique Wilkins. I think he did it in 83, and he was out 283 days. Kobe never recovered. And the difference is, I said, what's the difference
Kobe was 36, though, so keep that in mind.
The difference between a tear and a rupture. And he said it's pretty much all the same, but he said it's going to take him probably all of next year. But he said he shouldn't have never played in the first place.
Yeah. Boy.
You know what? It's easy to say that he shouldn't have played. Because if it's a game in the regular season or the first three rounds, which he didn't play in the first three rounds, or a regular season game, he doesn't play, you know. But he's out there trying to help his team in a championship.
I don't blame him.
He shouldn't have been cleared. I'm sure he was pushing to play. He didn't have to play. They probably shouldn't have cleared him, obviously, with the risk of suffering an even worse injury. Well, but, you know, they're trying to win a championship, and I give him all the kudos in the world for at least trying to play, knowing he's less than 100%.
What if he was under contract? Would they have played him? That's the key also, too, because now Klay Thompson gets a torn ACL last night.
What is going on?
It's definitely torn.
Yes. Definitely torn.
Yes.
It's a torn ACL.
What is going on with the Warriors?
Well, I'm going to tell you what happened. My good friend Ryan Blake, chief scout in the NBA, said this is what happens in the NBA. When you win so many playoff games and play in so many games, and the opposing team has never done that before, these teams are fresh. Yeah. Your body is worn down, and that just simply happens sometimes.
And I will say this. I know a lot of it, of this final, it's about Golden State's injury.
Right.
But that is a terrific starting five for Toronto. I mean, when you got Lowry, who's an all-star, and, you know, a top five player in the world, and Kawhi, and Gasol is good, Siakam is good, Green can shoot, that's a good team.
But Golden State with their team could have won.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is that Gasol's first championship?
His brother's got two because he was with the great man. His brother was great too.
He was soft as pie, but he was a great shooter. So skilled.
I just didn't know if Kobe would not have won it without him.
No, not at all. Kobe wanted him there.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the parade. Andy, any insight on, first of all, is this going to be bigger than the Rams parade and bigger than the Cardinals parade?
I don't know. It's tough to say. In terms of interest and anticipation and excitement, I think it's bigger. In terms of volume of people, we'll have to wait and find out how many people end up coming downtown to the parade. But people are saying that it is bigger. We'll find out tomorrow. But there's no doubt that the excitement level and the interest level is reaching a level that we have never seen before here in St. Louis. Certainly bigger than what we saw with the Rams winning the Super Bowl. Obviously we've seen so many World Series championships. Not to say that it's like redundant, but, you know, you kind of been there, done that.
Yeah.
When it happens for the first time and, you know, listen, the Blues organization, which has, you know, been around as long as they have been, as we know, over 50 years, and they've had as many great teams, Hall of Fame players, you know, the top four winningest coaches in the history of the game have significant history in the organization. There's just been so much buildup, and you can't compare the buildup to this with any of the other teams that have won championships here.
Yeah, I think that's a good point on the Cardinals thing, since it's happened so often. I've been alive for five. Charlie, I think, has been alive for all 11. You've probably been alive for three or four, so it's happened before. But in terms of the parade, I just got this sent to me. It kicks off at noon, 18th and Market, downtown St. Louis. Immediately following the parade, the players, the alumni, and leadership will be under the Gateway Arch. Mm-hmm. The events are free, open to the public. Concessions will be sold. Let's see. They are going to sell beer, too, on the streets. That's going to be wild.
That's going to be. I don't know if I want to do that.
Wow.
If there's any left.
You know,
yeah.
I think back to Emil Francis, okay?
The cat.
When he was coaching his team, the Blues had, about three employees working in their front office. This is where this team has come from. And I told this to Andy this morning. This is a learning experience, what the Blues did. It's a life teaching experience with teachers in the classroom. What the Blues did is what life's all about. They started out okay. Then they dropped to an all-time low, which is what life can be about. You can be up and down. And you never know what can happen if you just keep trying. And this team amplified that. And I'm going to get into this later with the entire city of St. Louis. They didn't take it far enough, but I like what this team has done with the city.
Andy, give us a little flavor about where everybody was yesterday with that cup on Brentwood Boulevard.
Oh, you know, it was quite the scene at O.B. Clark's. And listen, you know, I give the Blues players credit, and this has been going on for years and years and years. You know, players who have had relationships with Joe and Jim O'Brien, and just pass that down to this generation of Blues fans as well. And for them to take the cup there means a lot to the O'Briens, obviously, but it's probably – there wouldn't be a better place to have it in St. Louis than there, just in terms of how they've treated Blues players over the years and the relationship that they have with the organization. And, you know, for the Blues to bring the Stanley Cup there was unbelievable. I mean, you had – I don't know how many players you think were there? Oh, man. I mean, I bet you throughout the day – you probably had just about every player.
I mean,
throughout the day, at some point in time, stop by.
And some guys were there for as many. Like, who was there for like 8 or 9 hours? Like,
Joel Edmondson, Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, these guys, I think, got there at like 6:30 in the morning, the night after winning the cup. 6:30, 7:30 in the morning, something like that. And they were there. I mean,
deep into the day yesterday.
So I mean, there were players who I don't think slept over the course of a 24-hour period.
Explain this to me. You get the cup for 100 days.
Yeah.
And each player can keep the cup for a single day. Is that
correct? Now, some players can negotiate an opportunity to have the cup for 2 days. In fact, the keeper of the cup, the guy who watches over the cup year-round, Phil Pritchard, great guy, he's been around for a long time.
That's the guy with the white gloves.
The guy with the white gloves. He's going to join me on my show today.
Oh,
and
look at you.
During Hockey Sense, we'll be able to answer a lot of those questions. But I think that's the best part is the tradition of the Stanley Cup. I mean, for each of these players to be able to take the cup back to their hometown, share it with their community. A lot of these guys have parades in their community, take it back to the local rink where it all began. you know, take it to a children's hospital and just share it with their family, man. These parties, I've been to some of these cup parties in the past. Doug Waite had one here in St. Louis. Jamal Mayers, Jamie Compon, guys who have St. Louis ties.
Those are only three who have actually had the cup here.
That have had the cup here, yeah. Chris Pronger's party was in Anaheim.
Yeah, he described that was on in, the radio course.
Yeah, that was in Southern California. But to bring the cup back here, I mean, this is what it's all about. This is the pinnacle for a hockey player and their family. I've talked to so many of the parents over the course of the last few days as well. And it's not just the players who are celebrating right now. Man, it sounds cliche, but this is about the family. And I think, you know, once you get to this point after you win the cup, on the ice, it's about you and your teammates. The Stanley Cup, celebrating with the cup, is about the extension
of
everybody who has helped you get there.
Will you do me a favor?
What's that, Charlie?
Would you make sure the cup goes into all neighborhoods? Take it to the hood.
Take it to the hood.
Take it. The cup should go to the hood.
So where would be significant place there?
Charlie doesn't even go to the hood, and he wants the cup. Yeah,
the guy who's ready to go downtown.
I got some complaints about all the TV stations here anyway, but the cup should go. This thing was done for all over the city, mm-hmm. and the cup should go into different areas. Bernie's restaurant down in this hood, they call a place called Two Bars. We were near last night. Most of the bars in the inner cities and in North County were packed for the Blues game. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. And this can I say my gripe right now?
Yeah.
My gripe right now is this was wonderful. But did not one TV station go to a bar in the inner city and talk to any of those people?
To be honest with you, I think most TV stations went to either Ballpark Village or went to Busch Stadium or to the Enterprise Center.
They
that's
went
where
to some
the
other bars,
were.
Too. There were some other bars I've seen on TV. Well, but they should have made sure that every time we hear this on the news, this is for the city. What it was. It was great, but they should have included everybody.
I mean, only Charlie Tuna would make winning the Stanley Cup about race. Okay?
It is about, no, you can,
I
you
mean,
included,
he's making it about
no, no,
race.
No. You included, wait a minute, we did. This is for the entire city of St. Louis, but yet still, every time I saw something, it was at a different type bar. Go to the inner cities. They have black people like sports, too.
Give me the names of the bars where they were.
I even have
Give me the names of the bars where they were. Besides Ballpark Village,
Wheelhouse,
where else did they go?
The Wheelhouse. Okay, a couple other
which
places.
Which is right by the Enterprise Center,
there you
right?
go. There you go. Making some damn
that's
excuses.
In the city, too.
You're making
the Wheelhouse some damn is excuses. In the city. Wheelhouse
I'm,
is in the
you
city.
You know what I'm talking about. Don't throw no curveball.
Wheelhouse
go
is in the city.
Black, go to an inner city bar where black people hang out.
Charlie.
Black people like sports,
you've
too.
Had some dumb takes.
No,
this may be the dumbest.
No, this ain't the dumbest.
This takes the cake.
This is the typical.
Among the dumbest takes he's ever had.
This is what a typical white person would do.
This is.
Trying to discuss that.
All right. We've had some dumb takes on the slop.
No, you're going to take that.
This is a historic take. By Charlie
saying,
Tuna.
So what you call is black people dumb. You calling black people stupid with that comment? Yes, you are. No. Nothing wrong with going to the bars.
What do you mean going to the bars?
Go to the black bars, too. We're sports fans. I had more people. I had nine people. I was at an inner city, Snook Store, North County. I had ladies coming up to me. I ain't never had it happen in my life. Mm-hmm. What's the Blues score? What are Blues doing?
Charlie's and like, everybody's I don't know. Charlie's involved, like, man. I don't know. I don't know what changed the game on.
See. So this is my point, Frank. It's a good point. They should have included everybody.
All right, let's go to another
not
topic.
Not a good point.
Andy,
good
give
point.
Us an idea, because
yeah.
I think everybody's like thinking about the future a little bit. Mm-hmm. What does a Craig Berube contract look like? What does a Jordan Binnington contract look like?
Well, Jordan Binnington's going to be interesting. We'll start with that one. You know, Connor Hellebuyck was a Vezina Trophy finalist coming out of entry level a couple years ago. You know, he had played college, came to the National Hockey League late, you know, somewhere around, 23, 24 years of age after playing at the University or UMass Lowell, okay? And I think his contract extension is somewhere in the neighborhood of 6.1. That's the AAV, 6.1 per year. And listen, Jordan Binnington is going to ask for that contract.
Now, they don't have to pay him now.
They don't.
Okay,
and,
so
and
what
he,
do you think they will
so
end
listen,
up doing?
He's going to ask for that contract. I think it's going to go to arbitration. Now, keep in mind, if the Blues take him to arbitration, Jordan Binnington gets to elect a 1 or 2 year deal. And if he takes a 2 year deal, that's dangerous because that walks him right up to unrestricted free agency. So you got to be careful there. The player takes the team to arbitration, then the team can elect a 1 or 2 year deal, and you can be sure that they're gonna take a 1 year deal, not allow them to walk up to UFA. I think in an arbitration situation, he gets somewhere in that $4 million range, somewhere in that three.
For
and
one
that,
year?
Yeah, somewhere in that four range. Now,
all right, let me play devil's advocate.
Hold on. If the Blues, if they want to lock him up to a three-year deal, they want to offer him three times four and a half, somewhere in that range, to eat up a year for a free agency, maybe in that third year his salary is bumped up a little bit where he's making north of five, I think he would take that deal if they can agree on a three-year contract. I think the Blues do want to see him do it again, and there's nothing really wrong with that, so I don't think they're looking to lock this guy up for 6-7 years. But arbitration is a real possibility, and also, you know, agreeing to a three-year deal if they can get to that $4 to $5 million range.
So Berube, 3 years at what?
Well, who says 3 years?
You give me more?
Sure.
All right, so what do you think is realistic?
Let me just say, Craig Berube has a job in the National Hockey League for life.
Yeah.
Okay?
With somebody.
He has a job for life as a head coach.
But obviously he wants to be here. They want to work it out here.
Oh, 100%. And they will work it out here. And, you know, listen, I don't worry about that as much because it doesn't impact the salary cap. But you look at what, you know, the highest paid coaches are making, $8 million. You know, you got Joel Quenneville making six, so he's not going to get to that level. But he's going to be in that $3 million range for sure as a head coach, maybe even slightly more.
So it could be 4 years at $3 million a year,
could
$12
be.
Million.
Could be.
Not bad. What do you think he made this year, by the way?
I don't know what the exact salary was once he, you know, took over as an interim coach.
What do you think
I bet you he ended up somewhere close to $1 million.
Okay, how about as an assistant
prorated
coach?
Prorated, maybe. As an assistant coach,
what do you think he's like?
Probably making, he was an associate coach, so he's probably making in the 350 to 450 range.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And then what did Jordan Binnington make this year?
700.
700,000.
But that was prorated. It was 700 over 100. So he was making $100,000. In the minors, spent half the year there, so you got to figure that he made $50,000, we'll say. Half the year in the National Hockey League, so we'll say $350,000. So he probably made total about $400,000 this year. Mm.
Charlie, how about this? St. Louis athletes in championship game settings. If you factor in what Binnington did the other night, you go Bob Pettit's 50 against the Hawks, you go Kurt Warner's Super Bowl performance, and then you go
David
Bob
Freeze.
Gibson and David Freeze.
My guy is Ryan O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he to me, I want to get to know him. And I want to get, because he still does during regular season games, he does things with the inner city kids. I like that. But Ryan O'Reilly, man, I can't get over. I've never watched, I'm going to tell you the truth, I've never engaged in as much hockey as I can. But for game seven, it was just impeccable, man. I sat and watched that game. I wanted to, because I don't like to watch games like that alone. But Ryan O'Reilly did in that championship game, and Binnington was just unbelievable.
Ryan O'Reilly cracked a rib early in the Dallas series. Early in the Dallas series, he cracked a rib. Wasn't the same player because of that. I think that affected his game. Talked to him about that a lot over the course of the last few days. You know, in the Dallas series, that impacted his game. And he didn't start to feel healthy again until early in the Stanley Cup final, and you can see that. I mean, when Ryan O'Reilly is healthy, he's a completely different player, a world-class player, obviously. Certainly deserved the Conn Smythe Trophy. But you're right, Jordan Binnington's performance, I mean, what he did in the first period of Game 7 was unbelievable. I mean, the Blues had no business being up 2-0 after the first period. And I knew once they scored the second goal, just in terms of how it happened, Frank, you know, where Boston's coming down, they almost scored. They had four or five, I mean, legitimate grade-A chances where he just shut the door. He was incredible. Then Boston had some miscommunication on a line change. You knew they were in trouble. And once Pietrangelo scored that second goal, I just felt like the way Binnington was playing, that the game was over.
Yeah, there was no way he was giving up three goals.
He wasn't giving up three goals.
I'm glad you touched on the Pietrangelo moment. That was like a Bobby Orr 5 or 6 seconds there. I mean, that was an unbelievable play.
Unbelievable play. I really do. I don't want to downplay it. But I think in a Game 7 situation, we saw the difference between Jordan Binnington and Tuukka Rask. Rask was unbelievable throughout the entire playoffs, including the Stanley Cup final. Should have made that save, though. I mean, it didn't go under the bar. It went under his arm. You know, and at the end of a period like that, you got to come up with a big save. Got to find a way to get in front of that one and make a big save for your team. He did, and it was a great play by Alex Pietrangelo, great shot, but again, it went under the arm. Probably should have had that and needed to have that to give that team at least a little bit of momentum heading into the first intermission, and the Blues certainly had time. They got outshot 12-4 in the first period,
yeah.
And they were up
And I'm glad you brought that up because you see 12 shots a lot in, mm-hmm. in a period. Mm-hmm. But those weren't just shots. Those were unbelievable chances.
No, unbelievable chances. Made the huge save on Brad Marchand. You know, made some other saves, you know, in tight where he was able to, you know, stretch out and get that right pad out. And again, situations where it was one-on-one with the goaltender. And Binnington just made some incredible saves. I mean, the Blues maybe looked a little bit, I don't want to say nervous, but, you know, you're on, you know, Boston's on home ice in a Game 7. The energy there is crazy. Everybody knows how the Boston fans are. It doesn't matter which sport it is. I mean, the Patriots don't lose big games at home. The Red Sox hardly lose big games at home. The Celtics don't lose big games at home. To win three games in a Stanley Cup final in Boston and to win 10 games on the road throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, man, this team is unbelievable. Even early in the year when the team was struggling, this team was winning big games on the road, and they were beating really good teams in the first half of the year before they caught fire, before the Jordan Binnington era, and before Craig Berube took over. They were still beating good teams and winning games on the road. That continued into the playoffs, but that started from day one into the season.
Frank and Andy, will this team be invited to the White House?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Will you guys be invited with the team? You're part
of
the team.
I think I would cover it.
You would cover that? Will you go?
Would you go?
No, I wouldn't go.
How about you, Frank?
Oh, I would definitely cover it. Channel 5 tells me to cover, yeah.
Yeah, you got
to
work.
No, I'm saying, you know, would you go? A lot of athletes say they won't go.
Hockey player, like, there's never been an incident.
Oh, there's been a couple of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the teams went.
Tim Thomas wouldn't go when Obama was in charge from the Boston Bruins several years ago. Devontae Smith-Pelly from the Washington Capitals. I believe last year he said he wouldn't go.
Why? Because of the president?
Correct.
But it won't be a team. And hockey has never been a team that's said no.
I mean, how many teams have there?
The Warriors.
That's the only one, right?
Well, it's not that many Afro-Americans in hockey anyway.
Yeah.
So,
but that's the only one, right? I mean, the Warriors as a team didn't go, but like the Philadelphia Eagles, I remember a number of players didn't go, but the team went, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there were some, yeah.
Well, the Warriors went to different black organizations in D.C. Kevin Durant took a contingent and went around the city and said hello to kids, but they didn't go to the White House.
All right, we have to break. We're broadcasting live, Schnucks, South Grand. Come on by, say hello. You can get a great deal on bakery items. They have the Schnucks brand 10-count crispy chocolate chip cookie packs for just $3.99. The beer brats are outstanding. The floral department is great, too. Before we go to break, I want to tell you about our good friends at Hollywood Casino. I was texting with Todd George. Remember, Todd George is the guy who made this ice facility happen. The Centene, what is the official title of that? Centene Family, what do they call these?
The Centene Community Ice Center.
Yes. So Todd George was the guy who said, hey, let's build it on our grounds, and they did. It's spectacular. 99 Hops House is a great place to watch sporting events. Final Cut Steakhouse, one of my favorite restaurants in town. We appreciate them being a title sponsor. We'll be right back.